KCHA's Mark Pitts, joined by a KCHA alum of, well-known reputation, Brian Ross, with us. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Mark, it's great to be here. Great to be back at KCHA.
So what's your fondest KCHA memory?
I guess it was right here in this studio on a Saturday afternoon at the board there with young teenagers coming by holding up signs of what they wanted to hear played on the radio. It was a great group of people I worked with, and it was here when I was here in this station when the tornado hit, and we actually took a shelter down in the basement in one of the sort of old vault parts of the bank, and we heard the tornado come through. They say it sounds like a freight train. It sounded like a freight train, and came back up after that passed, and the pressure had dropped, and one of the guys in the vault, his ears started bleeding, came back up and looked outside, and the whole town was just gone. There were cars upside down, cars that had been pierced by parking meters. Quite a sight, quite a memory.
Do you remember what that day started like?
I started as a very warm day, one of these warm days. And you could see the clouds gathering. And at the time, I was also doing some work at KWWL-TV in Waterloo. And I had seen the weather reports and had said, let's get out to Charles City because it looks like perhaps there's a tornado heading that way. And I had a little bit of a old Bell & Howell 16-millimeter camera. And I thought, and I'll leave a tape recorder outside here to capture the audio. Well, of course, that was long gone. I never saw it again. But it was one of those warm days. You could feel very humid. You could see the clouds gathering. And just before it hit, I remember standing on the sidewalk here on Main Street, looking out, and here it comes. It's just an incredible, huge funnel heading this way. And I think I was one of the last persons off the street of Charles City before it hit.
Well, that's the job of us as
exactly
news people,
right.
Is like a,
yeah,
hold it out and sometimes put ourselves in harm's way. How do you feel that experience maybe helped kind of shape your career after that?
That was sort of the first big news event that I had been directly involved in. And it was a time to remember that a lot of people were hurting, number of deaths, and it was a time to be thoughtful in how I reported it and be respectful of those who had been killed and who were going through, their families going through terrible trauma. And the role of the local radio station, we stayed on the air all night, I recall, that night in temporary headquarters. We got a way to get back on the air, even though there were very little power. And just to sort of help the community understand what had happened and what help was on its way and what were, you know, we had experts come in and sort of say what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And you could see the role of a local radio station. You know, I went on to work for the big networks, so we never do that kind of thing, really. But, you know, the local nature of the radio station and how important it was to the community that we stayed on the air and offered some kind of voice of reassurance that, you know, there was a way out of this.
So how old were you at the time of the tornado, and about how far were you into your broadcasting career?
I must have been 19 or 20 years old, and I had come from suburban Chicago to go to school out here in Iowa, and I'd had a couple of sort of part-time jobs as a high school student in radio, but this was really my first real, you know, felt like I was really at home between here and KWWL Channel 7. So it was certainly my formative broadcast years.
At that point, I kind of equate this maybe people can follow the analogy. When Dan Marino first got into the NFL, he went to the Super Bowl his rookie year, never made it back. Like, and a lot of the guys thinking, well, if I got it here in my first year, that you know, maybe it's easy. Along that lines, Brian, did you ever think that when you had such a huge news event, is it always going to be like this?
I wondered, like, oh my goodness, how often is this kind of thing going to happen? You know, in my career, you know, I've been all over the world, been to wars everywhere, Iraq and Central America, and, you know, I've been shot at. I was on a hijacked plane, threatened by the mafia, threatened by all kinds of public officials who didn't like my reporting so much. But, you know, I still can remember with pretty good precision that day here in Charles City.
Did you keep any, other than pictures, any memento from the, from that day?
Not really, just up in my head. You know, there wasn't, you know, I didn't pick up any pieces of scraps or anything. It was just, I recall at one point, you know, pickup trucks with people lying in the back of the flatbed, you know, who had been injured, being raced to the hospital, trying to help them and do, you know, you're challenged as a reporter. You don't want to stop and, you know, help people because you want to get the story, but if you live, work at a station like this, you want to help people. That's you sort of forget that you're a reporter and more you're part of the community trying to help people.
And I imagine maybe helping reinforce the magnitude of it. You mentioned as a staff, you guys went down to the basement. At that point, I suppose everything's intact. And then a completely changed world when you come back.
Absolutely, 180 degrees different, and it was stunning. I never quite had been in the middle of anything like that. You know, I ended up after that, as you say, like you're never going to have that kind of close brush again. But I ended up at all kinds of places. You know, I was the first reporter on the scene when John Lennon was shot in New York. It was right near my. I happened to get off a bus, and they had just arrested Mark Chapman. I've been in all kinds of places where the things have happened. And I don't know if it's a charmed life or a cursed life, but as a reporter, you know, it's always fascinating. That was I did a report out of Charles City for Mutual Radio. So my first sort of network big time news appearance came out of here. I've listened to a couple of tapes that people have sent me of that night our broadcasting in Charles City. I sound like I'm 11 years old, but.
I've been doing radio for close to 35 years, and yeah, after being in it for a decade, it's like, is that really me? Is that my voice?
Exactly.
Yeah, we're having a pleasure to talk with Brian Ross, a KCHA alum, and of course, you went on to a very distinguished career as an investigative journalist. What's your proudest moment in that line of work?
You know, there's so many good stories. I've always said that I've put some of our stories got people put in prison. Maybe the best stories are where people got out of prison because of our reporting. They'd been wrongly convicted and were able to find evidence that had been overlooked before. I've done stories that have changed laws and I hope changed people's lives for the better, trying to give people who don't have a voice, give them a voice. You know, victims of crimes and of financial crimes, physical crimes. So I feel good about all that. And there's so many good ones that, you know, and for every story, I try to empty the tank on the field. I give everything I have to every story and every day I go to work. But, you know, starting here, it was so much fun to be on the air here and to be part of the community. And that's how I live my life every day since.
Yeah. What would you feel is maybe your most important story that you covered?
Most important story? Well, I helped to expose a lot of corruption in Congress. People, did go to prison because of it, and I think it changed the way they operated, or at least temporarily changed the way, exposing ethical gaps and all sorts of things. That probably is the one that those series of stories we did there probably have had the most impact.
You're working today as with Law and Crime Network.
We are the Law and Crime Network, and that is, if you recall what Court TV was maybe a couple of decades ago, this is a reimagined version of it, led by Dan Abrams, who was at Court TV. You might see him on ABC. He used to do Live PD, PD Live. Good friend, and so the network covers all sorts of trials, a lot of trials in Iowa, in large part because it's one of those states where cameras are allowed into the courtroom, which was, by the way, the work of Grant Price, who was a teacher at Wartburg, as you know,
sure,
and was a news director at Channel 7 and Channel 2, and he led the way. Anyway, so our network covers those trials, and part of what I do to add value is I've taken some of the coverage and turned them into each sort of case in our documentary, which is on A&E. It's called Killer Cases, and we just got renewed for a few more seasons. I've just finished a 3-hour documentary on HBO called Unveiled, about a terrible church-like, cult-like church. That leader of that church is now behind bars. So I'm doing not so much breaking spot news anymore as I am sort of deeper dives on important topics.
And how do you, I imagine people come to it with a lot of different story ideas. Brian, you know, maybe you should really take a look at this a little bit closer. How do you weed through that and kind of?
That's because you sort of don't want to ignore that one that might be the great story. So you have to give it some time. I spent a lot of time on that. You know, as an investigative reporter, you want to be open to anything on either side of the aisle, you know, on the Democrat side, the Republican side. Sometimes the good guys aren't always good guys, and sometimes the bad guys aren't always that bad.
Yeah. I went to a news conference here not too long ago, and kind of along those lines is the best piece of advice I got from him was, you know, write the story that you find, not the one that you're assigned.
Because,
I mean, once you start digging into some things, it's like, wait, now here's, you know, it just
absolutely
seems like a simple case of this.
Could not be more true, and you sort of have to go where the story leads you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't start with the preconceived notion, here's my story, and don't try to get the facts fit into your storyline. Let the facts guide your storyline. Right.
Bringing things back full circle. Again, talking with Brian Ross, a KCHA alum. Again, then some stories just kind of write themselves, like the tornado of Charles City.
Right, and that was a story of, you know, a great consequence. I think for, you know, a week or two, you sort of look around, you couldn't imagine how the town would ever be rebuilt, would ever be a town anymore. And now you look around and, you know, it's looking good.
All right. Brian, thank you very much. Anything else that you want to recall?
It's just great to be back here, and I value my experience here at KCHA a lot, and I always think about it.
All right, appreciate it. Pleasure to meet you. Brian Ross with us. I'm Mark Pitts, KCHA.